Welcome to the Uplifting Content Podcast. I'm your host, Ione Butler, and the founder of Uplifting Content. And every Tuesday, I'll share with you conversations with remarkable guests on a wide range of topics. My goal with this podcast is to introduce you to new people, ideas, and techniques that provide value and insight, which I hope you find uplifting. Today, let's talk about how to live your life with purpose with the one and only Mastin Kipp.
Purpose implies usefulness or utility. There's something to, you have to be used. There's a reason why you're here. So like the purpose of a book is to be read. The purpose of a hammer is to, put nails into wood. Basically, it boils down to this body is a vessel for emotion.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for checking out this week's episode. It's another one from our archives. I interviewed Mastin just over a year ago. And this was one of my favorite conversations. And the reason for choosing this one for this week is also for my own personal reasons. Lately, I've been feeling not very inspired with work and uplifting content. I guess I would say that I had lost my purpose. I was actually thinking of just stopping the podcast for a month or so because I just didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to deal with it. But then I realized that it's been building momentum over the last few months. And so thank you to everyone that tunes in and listens every week. And I think we're doing great with the numbers and people are still tuning in and listening. I didn't just want to stop it completely and ruin that. And so this thing clicked in me yesterday where I suddenly just stopped focusing on myself and, worrying about just not having the passion for things and not caring. And I just started to think about why did I do this in the first place? What did I want to do? And it was basically to provide nuggets of wisdom, to provide content that people can listen to that makes them feel good, makes them feel better. And the stuff that I share and some of these favorite episodes that I'm resharing from the archives are really good and you can really get something out of them. So rather than just pull the plug because I don't feel inspired, I decided to keep going. I'm arranging more interviews with people. So if you've got any suggestions, please email them to us at info@upliftingcontent.com. If you've got guest suggestions or, leave the comments or send us a message on social media, and we'll consider those people. But I just already feel a lot better about moving forward with things. So yeah, I just wanted to share that with you. And so in this episode, I'm speaking to an amazing guy called Mastin Kipp, and he is an author, a coach, an international speaker, a very successful entrepreneur and businessman. And this was he's so articulate and so knowledgeable. And I just felt so inspired and engaged when we spoke over a year ago. So in this episode, we spoke about how he started the work he does, tackling mental illness and how to look at it holistically, his journey in discovering his purpose and how you can take pain and transform it and use that to help people, and taking care of your body as a whole and avoiding stresses and overwhelming yourself, and so much more. I really hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks again for tuning in. Please subscribe to our podcast. Please leave a review. Share it with anyone that you think might benefit from it. And just thank you again for being part of the community and listening. I'll keep doing this as long as you keep listening.
Hey, Mastin, how you doing?
Hi, Ione. Very happy to be here today. And you handled those technical difficulties with total grace. That's part of going live.
Thank you. Yeah, we're doing
it. Happens to me all the time.
Right. So rather than me do like intros and bios for people, which, I don't like doing, one of my favorite questions that a friend once asked me when we first met was, so what's your story? And I love it. So I'd love you to share. It doesn't have to be like the corporate answer or whatever. It's kind of like whatever you want to share about kind of how you've got to where you've got today and what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. So just for context, so anyone listening that doesn't know me, what I do is I really help people move through life quicker with a sense of meaning and purpose through a sort of counterintuitive way, which is really helping them become aware of and remove the blocks rather than just go for more greatness. Because I think achievement can only take you so far. And it's far more important to focus on blocks and what's holding us back and removing those than some type of deficit of becoming more, because that's who you are is enough. You can't become more. It's a ridiculous thought. So, and I work on really core trauma and help people find purpose. And in doing so, typically health improves. There's a lot of studies on that. Finances improve. People tend to quit their job and start a business or make more money in their job. Relationships improve with purpose. And so you know, I'm able to sort of guide and have that level of coaching because I've been through a lot of darkness myself. And very early in my career, I moved to Hollywood, and my definition of success back then was money, fame, power. And I wanted to be, you know, this powerful Hollywood sort of mogul type. And, you know, through a long series of events and addiction, essentially lost my dream job at 21. I was a senior vice president of A&R at Geffen Records, major label, and was my dream job. Mm-hmm. And then sort of got lost in, you know, asking the question, like, how can I feel as good off the drugs as I do on the drugs? And that got me into personal development. And, you know, thanks to all the, you know, people who bought this or listened to this also got this algorithms on iTunes and Amazon. I just went, you know, it happens, right? You just go deep down the personal development, you know, sort of rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. And I just started consuming all this content at a relatively young age, about 20 years old. And I thought to myself, like, why is this not out there more? I wish I would have had this earlier. And, eventually led me to starting a blog called The Daily Love, which was a sort of a curated site, much like Uplifting Content in a lot of ways in the early days. And then I realized, like, this isn't bringing me joy anymore. And I got into coaching, and specifically I really focused on sort of emotional trauma and how to take that and find meaning with it and really transform it into something purposeful. And I've worked with probably tens of thousands at this point of women, mostly women, to help them find purpose. And I've sort of had a front row seat the last 10 years to the emerging Me Too movement. As a 6'5" white guy from Kansas, somehow I'm helping all these women, which I'm the most unlikely person. But I have a real insight on that, and ended up creating a type of life coaching called functional life coaching that's really focused on root cause trauma, figuring that stuff out, and then how to move through stuff into something more purposeful without the block. So I would say that's, like, in a nutshell, like, what I do, and anything I've ever talked about or shared or believe in, I've you know, gone through myself. So any advice I give is something that I've lived myself. So, and, you know, that's sort of it. I just feel like I'm a teacher and an educator and a facilitator. And I just want to see people be successful. That's basically it.
Yes, to you. I feel even more excited talking to you now because working through blockages is definitely something that I've been coming up against a lot. And one of the reasons for starting Uplifting Content was a platform that people could come to be uplifted and inspired because I deal with depression. And when I'm in these dark places, there's never anything to kind of lift me up. And so that's why I created this. And for the last, you know, few months, I've been going through a really tough time, and it's very hard to inspire people and be uplifting when you're kind of feeling really crappy inside. So that's kind of been the place that I've been at with stuff. And so I'm very excited to talk to you about this. Because again, it's finding purpose, which is what I have. I believe I have it. Maybe I'm wrong. And yet still then struggling when things arise to kind of focus and get on the path and do it. So I'd love to hear from you, you know, the struggles that you were saying about the kind of the darkness that you experienced, touch on that a little bit more, and then also find out about, you know, even if you think you've got a purpose, like how can you kind of get yourself out of these funks?
Yeah.
You know, what would be your best to that?
So a couple of things, you know, when you start talking about things like mental illness, there's so many things that start to come up in that conversation. There's a stigma, there's shame, there's antidepressants, there's you know, chemical imbalance. There's so many things that start to come up, and really the conversation needs to evolve because I want to know, when was the last time a doctor asked you, what's your purpose? Are you meditating?
Great point.
How kind are you being? Are you grateful? Are you grateful for the ups and the downs? Because, like, the sort of status quo view on depression is it's correct in its very myopic view of depression, but the holistic view on depression is much bigger than the sort of status quo. And what's most interesting about depression is that actually, whenever you have a level of depression or mental health disorders or pathology, it's because there's an underlying symptom that's occurring, and depression, multiple personalities, whatever you want to call it, is the appropriate response to the underlying dysfunctional pattern. So when you're in a depressive state, it's so simple to say, well, I just have a chemical imbalance. Well, kind of, right? How's your gut health? Because all the neurotransmitters that you need to feel good, the serotonin, the dopamine, you know, all of that stuff is produced in the gut. Are you even focused on that? Do you know what you need to really produce the chemicals that feel good? How is your brain health? Are you eating essential fatty acids? Do you have a sense of purpose? Because if you don't have a sense of purpose in your life, you're probably going to be depressed because, like, why else are you here? You know, mm-hmm. no one's here to be a widget or a cog in a machine. Like, no, everyone here is a creative being. So when you repress yourself, when there's repression, there tends to be depression eventually. Chronic repression is what depression really is. And in the sense, and especially with a multiple personality disorder, you take a bunch of people with MPDs who are in a place together, it doesn't really make sense. And you think, oh, we have to look at this. When you take someone with an MPD and you put them in a family of origin environment, they have brilliantly dissociated from the trauma of their home or family of origin through a multiple personality experience. Mm. And so whenever there's any type of procrastination, underlying cause, depressive issue, there's something, there's a symptom underneath it that's dysfunctional that is causing this behavior or this experience. And so it's a lot more, we have to have a much more holistic view of depression. For example, for me, when I was suicidal, you know, I didn't have a sense of purpose. I didn't have I was couch surfing. I didn't have a peer group of people believing in me. I was in recovery. I didn't know anything about diet, exercise, nutrition, brain health. I didn't know that, you know, the hormones of my body that helped me, you know, have a healthy experience and feel good in my body are produced primarily by lipids. I need to have a predominant amount of, you know, DHA in my body to be able to have the raw material to build the hormones. I didn't know that I had to optimize and understand what's going on in my gut so that my body could produce the neurotransmitters needed to feel good. I didn't know that I had to focus on serving other people and being kind, and that kindness biochemically is the opposite of stress, and stress and kindness are polar opposite. I didn't know any of that type of stuff. I just thought, I feel like crap, something's wrong with me. And when you pathologize something and you just say, this is what's wrong with you, people latch on to that and they say, well, this is what's wrong with it. And they take it on as an identity, versus understanding that there's an underlying dysfunctional pattern. And when you focus on and heal and address the pattern, the symptoms lift. And we're seeing this in functional medicine. We're seeing this in cutting edge microbiome research. We're seeing this in cutting edge mental health and psychiatric research and SPECT imaging and brain scans. So there has to be a lot of compassion brought to anyone who's in a level of depression, anxiety, chronic fatigue, because basically the message is nothing's wrong with you. And all we've got to do is change a few patterns, and we've got to have a lot more of a holistic approach. And that's a scientific element. On a spiritual element, whenever we go through a crisis, the purpose of that crisis is to reveal to us the underlying trauma or pattern that's holding us back, that has to be healed in order for us to come back into stasis or homeostasis or balance. So for example, the crisis that we're seeing globally today, especially in the United States, around racism, misogyny, sexual abuse, all that's doing is bringing to the surface what's already been there, but now we all see it.
Right.
So, but now the question is, what do you do with it? Do you blame people, shame people, hurt people, or do you listen, have a lot of compassion, and understand that you're also a part of that dynamic, either in complicity for not speaking up or in the ability of blaming other people when there's a level of responsibility that has to be taken. So compassion is so key, not just in some type of religious woo-woo, holier-than-thou kind of hallmark sense, but really starting to understand that whenever there's a crisis or depression or an anxiety or a lack of purpose or any of these type of things, there's an underlying pattern and it's asking for healing. And right. We're learning more and more every single day about what that healing looks like. And I can tell you with my own experience, when I'm, you know, not serving people, when I'm focused on myself, when I'm not, you know, giving my body the stuff that it needs to feel good, you know, and I'm eating a bunch of crappy food and, you know, not doing well, and I'm around a negative environment, like I'm not going to be feeling good, like, no matter how many affirmations I do, right? So we have to sort of have a little bit more of an intelligent and, I would say, functional conversation around these types of topics to really fully understand why they're there, because everything is there for a good and valid reason. Nothing's wrong with you. And when I realized that about myself, there was a lot of compassion. You know, when I was doing a lot of the cocaine, when I got my brain scanned, they said, yeah, well, based on how your brain works, you're trying to stimulate parts of your brain that aren't really active, right? Mm-hmm. So there was self-medication that was acted out through illegal, drug consumption. But there was compassion, like, oh, I'm not an addict. I'm trying to make my brain work, right? And I didn't know that. So I like to have a lot more of a functional and holistic approach to these types of conversations, because we can just so easily dive into, you know, the standard sort of either like political conversation or the standard sort of like shame stigma conversation. And both of those things are just sort of conversations that don't really move the needle forward.
Yeah, I agree. And it's upsetting kind of hearing some people talk about depression and just get over it or whatever, just because they don't have an understanding of what it is. So yeah, having compassion, having understanding, if you don't experience it, great, that's fantastic for you. But just there's more to it than just snapping out of it. And also I think, yeah, the compassion for self. Yeah, there's the compassion for self, which is yeah. I mean, in my state, sometimes it's just the most horrible thing. And you're like, okay, stop it now. Totally. So when you were going through that, what was the change and what was the process and what was the journey of you discovering your purpose?
That's a great question. So one of the things that's prevalent in the personal development conversation is that there's this unrealistic expectation that if you have a therapy session, you read a book and have an aha moment, you watch a seminar or watch something like this, or, you know, you go to a weekend seminar and you have a breakthrough, that somehow you're set for life. And I think this is the most insane expectation. And let me correlate it to something. Nobody has ever said, you know, on Saturday, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I went to a 3-day fitness boot camp and I did abs and arms and legs. Where's my 6-pack? Why hasn't it stayed? 10 years later, right?
Great
nobody
point.
Does that. And so when you talk about changing your life, there's so many things that goes into actually changing your life for good. And the body does not want to change. It wants to stay exactly the way it is, because the way the body is right now, the mindset, the hormone levels, everything says you're safe as you are, don't change, because any uncertainty could sort of become a risk or a threat. And so what I help people do essentially is, instead of trying to negate their negative emotional states or to say like, oh, let me just be positive, we start to say, well, if this negative experience is there for a reason, why? Where did it come from? And I can trace your most sort of basic stress to the root cause, the root emotional cause of what's keeping you stuck. And when you start to see like, wow, this is why I'm the way that I am, and this is why I behave the way that I behave, anyone who is in my position would have made the same decision, then you can have compassion for yourself and say, well, when I was 5 years old and such and such happened, did I see the whole picture? Because we don't always remember the full picture of what happened. And if you don't believe me, think about like a crime scene investigator. They could interview 21 people from a crime that happened a week ago and get 21 completely different, you know, accounts of what happened. They have a hard time piecing it all together. People see it differently. And so like, you probably saw what happened 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. You have to see it differently as well. And we tend to delete, distort, and generalize the wounds of our past and focus on the pain. And we start to realize, well, there was a gift in this. There was an opportunity to grow in this. You know what? Right before this was happening, something beautiful was happening. Yes, there was pain, but there was something else happening as well. And I deleted it because it was hurtful to not do anything but cope. And by the way, I can't change what happened, but I can change the meaning of what happened and see it with a different context. And when I can find meaning in the pain and the hurt that I've been through, and then focus on serving other people, then we can't make right what happened, but we can find meaning in it. And when you find meaning and a context and an understanding and a compassion for what you've been through, and you harness the gift from what you've been through, you can transcend and heal it. And so that's really what I do. And in my own life, you know, I've been through all kinds of addictions and, you know, inappropriate relationships with sexuality and promiscuity and drugs and alcohol and all that type of stuff. And for me, it was like, how do I take this pain? For me, the root cause, emotional cause, was the feeling of emotional abandonment. How do I have compassion for myself to feel like I'm never going to quite get my needs met? So of course I'm going to consume. That makes total sense, right? I'm going to consume until I have my needs met, but they're never going to get met. So it's this never ending cycle. How can I take that and then serve other people with it? And that's really been my biggest, sort of, I would say, transformation in my own life, is being able to take that pain and slowly, bit by bit, focus on serving other people, focus on helping someone, focus on being kind to somebody else. And there wasn't just one magic aha moment. It was just kind of like, it's kind of like working out, right? It's just like one rep at a time. Right? Changing your neural pathways, you're changing and rebuilding myelin in your body. Like there's so many things that have to change and shift when you're trying to change your life, that you can't just have this quantum moment where it all happens. Those quantum moments where it all happens usually are a sort of a, you know, there's many different baby steps that happen before that. Just like in a physical transformation when it comes to like bodybuilding or weight loss.
Yeah, it's a really great point. Yeah, no, it's a great point. And the thing that I've noticed is I have my processes of keeping myself sane and feeling good. And it's normally exercising, eating, yoga, reading in the morning, reading in the evening, and then audiobooks in the car. And then sometimes what happens is I become okay. And then I stop doing some of these things and I slip back down into these patterns and habits, and I start to feel awful. And that's a very great analogy that you made about going to the gym a couple of times and then expecting to be fit and healthy. It's an ongoing process, absolutely, mental health. So really great point. Hey, Oleo, what's up? What's up? He says, I think the environment you are in is mainly responsible for your depression and suppression. This includes people around you, support or lack, physical environment, community, etc. If you are a square peg, it is really difficult to rise above and heal. Yes, agreed. Any comments? Any comments, Mastin?
Well, so whenever you're talking about healing, it's really important to not just try to isolate something. Like doctors who are not looking at the holistic picture, you can't just look at like the liver, the heart, the lungs, the gut in isolation, because it's a part of a larger body. So when you're talking about something like depression, you have to look at a holistic and functional approach to like what it takes to help change that pattern. Mm. Environment is key, but you can be around everybody, the most positive people in the world, and reject them, you know, turn them away, not want to go there. So yes, environment is huge, but it's not the only thing, right? Because you have to, there has to be a willingness on behalf of the person to want to change. We've got to look at the physiology. We have to look at the biology. We have to look at what they're feeding themselves. We have to look at, you know, their gut microbiome. We have to look at, you know, like, are they producing neurotransmitters that they need to be producing? Do they have a sense of purpose? You know, it's kind of like there's a whole body sort of intervention that goes into it. And absolutely, environment and community is key. But it's dangerous to say this is it, just community. It's community, it's health, it's brain health, it's gut health, it's purpose. Like, there's so many things that go into solving the problem for good. And one of the things that you shared that I think is really important is what a lot of people do is in the beginning, in the early days, before they look back at and heal some of their root cause trauma, is what they do is they just find better coping mechanisms. Mm. So like, a lot of people have low level coping where it's like high fructose corn syrup, drugs, alcohol, promiscuity. And then we like upgrade to like quinoa, yoga, and, you know, Lululemon wear and like mala beads and meditation. And what happens is it's better coping, but it hasn't resolved the root cause issue. Right. And I want you to think of like the emotional trauma that is unhealed. It's almost like a pressure cooker, right? So like when you have a pressure cooker, it boils up and you get really tense and you open up the lid for a little bit, you have this release, but then you just put the lid back on. And there's a period of time and then it boils up. And so what we do is we kind of have these moments of like pressure relief. But what I want to do is I want to neutralize and heal the underlying pattern. Because when you do that, then there's no need for the pressure to be built up anymore. You can actually just turn the heat off. And so, and then all of a sudden, a lot of the best practices don't become upgraded coping mechanisms. They just become ways to just consistently feel better in your life. And again, it's a phased process. If you're in drugs and alcohol and, you know, you've upgraded to like gluten-free cookies and like yoga, like I'm way better with that, right? Mm-hmm. But like, it's never the low level anxiety and stress and depression won't go away until you're able to heal the underlying emotional trauma. And that's really the focus of my work.
That's a really great point. And I think that's the place that I'm at now, is kind of trying to figure out why I keep coming back to these places. And you're right. Like, yeah, there's only so much reading you can do. And if you're not addressing the cause, then it's not going to go away. Really great point. When it comes to purpose, I get a lot of people say that they're not sure what their purpose is, and I don't know. What do you advise for people that are in that position that aren't sure?
Yeah, that's a great question. So typically in the realm of purpose, I teach a lot on this. There's a couple different versions of how that shows up. So one is, I don't believe I even have a purpose. Then it's, I thought I knew what my purpose was, but then I lost it. Then it was, well, I know what my purpose is, but I'm not really getting enough traction with it yet. And then there's just this sort of like, well, maybe I have one, but I don't really know what it is. And all of those things are really great, because at least you're entertaining the idea that you do have a purpose. And so there's a couple different ways to look at purpose. There's the clinical way. The clinical definition of a purpose is essentially a life aim or goal that stimulates behavior, right? So it's like a reason why you get off your butt. The kids, the business, the mission larger than yourself, whatever it might be. There's some reason, but I don't really think that that's what purpose is. I see that as a motivating force or a compelling reason or leverage. But if you think about what purpose is, the definition of the word, we don't really have a common definition. purpose implies usefulness or utility. There's something to, you have to be used. There's a reason why you're here. So like the purpose of a book is to be read. The purpose of a hammer is to, put nails into wood. And so a human being's purpose, essentially, if you look at all of the religious or spiritual context or the medicinal and the medical context or scientific context, basically it boils down to this body is a vessel for emotion. That's basically the bottom line. And the quality of life is related to the quality of your emotional states. And every teacher, every religious leader, every great political leader, every great activist they're all saying the same thing, which is trade lower level patterns of emotion for higher level patterns of emotion. Trade guilt, anger, fear, and shame for love, compassion, joy, and empathy. Like that's basically what Jesus said. It's what Martin Luther King said. It's what like all the Me Too survivors are saying. Like they're all basically saying the same thing. And so basically, if life is an emotional game, the way that I define purpose is very simple. We set goals because we want to hit emotional states. We want the money for the financial freedom or for the certainty. We want relationships for the passion or the romance. And right now what's happening is there's a level of equality that's like we're equal. They want to feel like the same unique intrinsic value that all beings are created equally, which is the founding documents of this country. So when it comes to purpose, my definition of purpose is essentially purpose is an emotional state that you cultivate within yourself and then you express to the world in the form of service to other people. To others, so it implies a level of responsibility that it's up to you to figure it out. You have to have some skin in the game, and it's really never going to be complete if you're self-focused. You've got to serve others, but you've got to start with yourself because too many people focus on this codependent pattern of just giving without any level of reciprocity or receiving. So you've got to learn what you need to nourish yourself, to give it to yourself, but then it's all about serving other people. And when you do that and you really focus on serving other people, that's when all of your survival needs will be met. That's when abundance starts to flow. That's when all the good stuff in life starts to happen. And most people just say, no, you know what? I don't want to be on the hook for how I feel. The government, the person, the ex, the mom, the dad, they're responsible for how I feel. Mm-hmm. And that mindset will keep you stuck. Even if you think it's true, you're participating with it. And so it's a fine line. And the three things that you need to literally live that life of purpose, if it's an emotional state, you have to have first an emotional awareness, which is how do I feel? How do I want to feel? The second process is emotional intelligence, which is what do I have to do to feel the way that I want to feel? Mm. And then the third part's the most important part, emotional fitness, actually doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to have awareness, intelligence, and fitness when it comes to emotional states. And when you're focused on serving other people, things just really open up. And so that's really how I define purpose. And the good news in this is that if you lose your job or God forbid a child, you haven't lost your purpose. Mm. You've lost something very meaningful for you, but it's not your purpose because your purpose is something inside.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And so what it would be fair to say then for someone that is unsure of what their purpose is, addressing where you're at emotionally and helping to elevate that. And then I just say going out and getting involved in anything, involved in anything in a way of being of service, because it makes you feel fantastic. 100%. And in doing that, eventually you'll figure out which avenue you really want to go down, but just try things. And again, that was one of the purposes of uplifting content, which is, I've got some comments from Mike Peters here. Hello. He was saying that he hasn't seen me on here for months. That's because of all the changes on Facebook.
Facebook's algorithms, traffic, local engagement's down 75%.
I know, it's horrible. It's really horrible. And so that was one of our focuses. One of the goals was to get people I want people to take action, getting involved in causes, following your passion, doing something for others, and then bringing the community together to help and support each other. Because of Facebook, that has been a bit difficult. It's not really happening, but it's part of the plan and it will continue to happen. But it's just saying, like, whatever it is, just Google going to an old people's home and reading to old people, going and volunteering in a shelter, like, mentoring a kid with Big Brothers, Big Sisters, like just anything, and then you're in that place and it's fantastic. Loads more comments. I love you guys. Thank you for commenting. The only way these feeds get out now is by liking and sharing and commenting and just being engaging, which you are. And so if you're loving what Mastin is saying, show us some love. Tiffany, sorry for saying Tiffany. I know she says boo algorithms. They stuck. Leo says, honestly, man, sometimes I feel like this life is my karma for being a third world dictator in the past. But you are correct. You have to find that joy and do it. Do it. No sense in staying in misery. Really great point. Leah, you're working your butt off. I trust in you. Carrie says, what tools do you use on the days that your depression gets overwhelming? Currently trying to battle mine without medication, but I have days that I just can't pull myself out. Thank you for that question, Carrie. What's your thoughts, Mastin? I can actually just say from personal experience. Sorry, let me just jump in there. Yeah. Mine, I'm kind of not beating myself up about it and being okay with the place that I'm in, because it's physically and mentally exhausting anyway. And when I then attack myself, you should be doing this, and like, you're such a waste of time. Like, that is just makes it even more difficult to get out. A few months ago, I was kind of on the floor crying, and I took a selfie and posted it on Instagram just saying, guys, I feel like shit. You know, everybody kind of portrays themselves as this glossy, happy person. This is where I'm at right now. I know it's going to pass. And honest to God, I instantly felt so much better just for saying, this is where I'm at. You know, I had friends reach out, so many wonderful, beautiful people, friends, family, people that I don't even know, sending beautiful messages of love and encouragement. And so in that sense, what I would say to you is just be prepared to allow yourself to be vulnerable and honest with people that you love and care about, because you'll receive that love back. Be kind to yourself and remember that this too shall pass. Yeah, that's kind of my thing. Go on, Mastin.
I got this on my arm right here.
Dude, I want to get that. But then every time I'm like, I'm just kind of like not a very good tattoo-y person. I want this too shall pass. And then know thyself as well. Nice. And then I am. But
yeah, totally. I know. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think just to add on to what you just shared so brilliantly, you sort of nailed it. I think that, I think a couple things. One, something simple like getting sunlight. It's just like the vitamin D, like, is just really good for you. And the other thing is that like people tend to, hide and hold back in the moments where they need the most support. And so if you feel yourself contracting, if you feel yourself wanting to hide or hiding, that's the rule can be, anytime I feel like I'm hiding, I'm going to reach out to so-and-so. And so you can have like a buddy who can help you or someone who can help you out. And you can make that decision when you're not in that state, because, just having your pain witnessed and expressed and admitting it, just acknowledging it, like that's really what a lot of the survival programming is looking for, is just the acknowledgement, like I'm here. And remember, when you're in those states, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, you have to understand that there's actually literally nothing wrong with you. There are patterns. There's this functional, but you don't get mad at yourself for having a Charlie horse in your legs. Like, I'm a bad person because I have a Charlie horse, right? Like, nobody ever.
What's a Charlie horse?
It's like when you're like, you ever had like wake up in the middle of the night and like your muscles like really tight and spasms. Ever had that happen before?
That's not, it's either dead leg or pins and needles. That's
same
not
thing.
The same?
Yeah, legs is same type of thing, right?
He's an American. I've never heard of that before.
Pins and needles, exactly. You don't like say like, I'm an awful person today because I cut my finger. It's a pattern, right? So really depression, anxiety, all of these things are really a call for self-acceptance and to really follow that thread for what you need. And ultimately, I think that it's about the self-acceptance and saying, this is where I am and that's okay. And by the way, so-and-so, whoever that might be, the friend, your buddy, whoever that might be, say, I just need some help right now. Like, it can be so, so, so rewarding. So I would just say that, especially when you're in a contracted place, it can be so hard to do really anything, like sometimes even get out of bed. Like, but if you can just like reach out to one person and have the agreement that like that person will be there for you in a time of contraction, that can be so valuable. So don't hide when you want to hide. I would think that's the most tactical, strategic thing I can share besides sunlight.
Yes. And another thing that I've noticed too is sometimes people don't always know what to say or what to do, and let them know that that's okay. Just to let them know that I just need to be with someone that I love and care about right now. And that's enough. Do you know what I mean? And if you want to say whatever you want to say or whatever, sometimes it's just me being around my friends and then immediately I feel better just being in their presence and just saying, I feel a bit crappy today, guys. And they're like, what can I do? It's fine. That's just where I'm at. But you know,
and I think it's important to just last thing on that is to also just have it like make sure that person's not trying to fix you.
Right?
Because like the last thing you want is someone looking at you like, what's wrong? Because like that just makes it worse. Like, having someone that can accept you as you are, just be there with you, like that's just like medicine for the soul.
Yeah. And there was a beautiful person on here, because I was doing before like Facebook killed all these Facebook lives, I had a great chat with people, a woman on here, and she was kind of expressing a lot of things that were going on, and I was kind of saying, you know, you should try this, and she was like, honestly, I just wanted to be heard. I've been doing these things, and it was a real check-in for me too. Like, that's what we do. We try and fix, we try and make it better. Sometimes people just want to be heard. And so, yeah, that's great.
Sometimes how you help fix it.
Yeah, 100%. And then, so yeah, we said about what to do with it. How did you, okay. We're kind of going through all these questions fast and I realized. So you've got this like awesome thriving career, speaking and writing and like managing all your courses and things like that. Are there times where you kind of get a bit like overwhelmed, or how do you deal with it? Or is it that you've got a fantastic team in place now and that's how it all kind of works for you?
Yeah. I would just say that I'm perfect and never get overwhelmed. So no, I'm just kidding.
Well, thanks very much, Mastin.
So I like to look at like the meaning of words and what they mean. So when you look at the definition or the etymology of the word overwhelm, the root word in there is whelm, W-H-E-L-M. And what that word means is a surge. That's what it means. And so I look at overwhelm as I'm over a surge. That to me sounds like surfing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like saying like, well, when you're surfing, how do you ride the wave, right? And so if you just ignore it, it's not here, you're going to, you know, crash. But you can ride the wave and actually use it for benefit. Overwhelm is essentially an energy surge in the body. And whenever I'm overwhelmed, to me, that's just energy moving through my body. So I don't like to give the labels of my body these sensations in my body, these certain like labels, especially clinical labels, anxiety, mm-hmm. depression, like whoever's called it a panic attack, worst name ever. Maybe it's a purpose attack. Maybe you're supposed to have a panic attack because you're in the wrong relationship. You know what I mean? Like,
right, so right. Like, it's like, a warning sign or an alert.
Totally. It's a wake up call, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I look at overwhelm as essentially an opportunity to ride the wave, and I get to choose how to ride the wave. I can crash and burn, I can paddle out, I can duck dive, like however that works. Mm-hmm. But you know, surfing is a really beautiful metaphor for life, because if you ride the wave and you ride it well, then a higher power can take you and pull you, right? Mm-hmm. If you resist it, you can get pulled under the current. And right. So I think that for me, I don't resist feeling overwhelmed. This is a surge of energy and it's happening right now. I'm going to breathe through it. I'm going to accept myself through it. And most importantly, I keep taking action. So I don't stop. And a lot of people have that fight, flight, or freeze syndrome where they just stop doing things. And I think stopping is like the worst thing you can do. Even like resting and sleeping is not stopping, because it has a purpose of rejuvenating yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you just stop, like you're frozen, like that, Nothing is worse than that, because it just starts to build up. So especially as an entrepreneur, you know, the way that I'm wired, I have three different forms of attention deficit disorder. So like I'm wired for fast paced things and I'm very quick. If anything, I'm usually the overwhelming force to my team. Calm me down. But I love being overwhelmed. Like I don't want to die with a sense of completion. Like when I die, like I want to like go out where like people don't even mourn me for 3 weeks, because they're like putting all this stuff together that I left in motion when I like died, because there's all this unfinished stuff, right? I want to die in the middle of it. So to me, I sort of seeked out that experience, and maybe that makes me a strange person. I'm not too sure, but I love feeling overwhelmed. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm not as good at handling it, and I definitely do the stop thing, and it sucks. So yeah, the thing that I've been kind of working on is just doing something, anything small, a thing. Not allowing that funk to kind of take over, because in the reality of it is, it's focusing on too many things at once that I can't, you know, whatever, and then I just shut down, focusing on one thing, doing a thing, anything, and keep on moving through. And you're right, it's okay to take a time to go and read a book and go to sleep.
Absolutely, because there's a purpose to it, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, I'll speak to this for a second. Like part of the – in personal development and sort of in inspirational circles, one of the big messages is be great, be big, set these huge goals. And I think that having a big vision is one thing, but I think you should set small goals. A friend of mine and a mentor of mine, Naveen Jain, who's an entrepreneur, billionaire, founder of a bunch of amazing companies, he once told me, you know, Mastin, I can focus on the next 30 days and the big vision, but I don't know anything that's going to happen in between those two things. And I really love that idea of like, you can have a really big vision, but your goals and your what you're focusing on have to be very strategic and in the moment, because otherwise, like what people do is they set these big goals, they start to take action on these huge goals that seem so big and so massive, they get overwhelmed, then they stop, then they beat themselves up for stopping and they get into a funk and that cycle kind of repeats itself. So I think it's more about lowering your expectations in the short term and have very high expectations for yourself in the long term. Because if you can do those small things that you just said every single day, that's going to help you feel less overwhelmed. And it's really funny. People sometimes say, well, it's a small thing. I can't do this small thing. I have these big goals. I go, if it's such a small thing, why are you so scared of it? You know what I mean? Like, take that small step. And it's the small step that leads up to all the big steps.
Mike Peters is ahead of the game because, like, 3 minutes ago he said, lower your expectations but keep your goals. Keep it basic. He kind of knew exactly where we were going with this. I love it. Blake, what's up? Blake says, Mastin and I think very much alike. Big fan now. This is a great one.
Oh, awesome.
Thank
nice to meet you,
darling. Jill says, what if you always, things are moving too fast. What if you always have to set fire to the board? I don't think I know what that means. Maybe that was about something. Anyway, whatever.
Oh, she's probably talking about the surfboard.
Oh, yes. Always have to set fire to the surfboard. Oh, that makes sense.
Jump in the water and it won't catch on fire.
There you go, Jill. Mastin's got answers for everything. Mastin, this has been phenomenal. Thank you so very much. This has been awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is so much fun. Great questions, great energy, and just awesome engagement from everybody. So, guys, thank you so much for being here. And it's been a pleasure to be able to be of service today.
Yes, thank you. Guys, as always, with all these changes on Facebook, you go to following and see first on the page to make sure you see stuff from us. There was a way of being notified for Facebook Lives, but I think they've stopped that now. So I would say sign up to my, I'm going to have a newsletter link on here that you can sign up to, and I'll let you know when I'm doing all of these things. And yeah, just hopefully see you soon. Lots of love, everyone. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Uplifting Content Podcast with me, Ione Butler. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review so that more people can find it. And to make sure you never miss a beat, subscribe to our weekly dose of uplifting content, which is an email from me about the best of uplifting content from that week, be it giveaways, videos, interviews, all the good stuff. And as a bonus, when you subscribe, you'll get 100 of our inspirational memes to share on your social media. The sign-up link is in the show notes. See you next time.